present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a story seen on the BBC News website, read by Rory Morrison.
Greenpeace campaigners leapt into the water and swam in front of a fishing boat 40 miles north of the coast of Unst, Britain's most northerly island, holding up a red sign that read, "Stop, cod in crisis." Willie McKenzie, a campaigner, said the fishing industry and politicians have ignored the scientists and continue to batter cod stocks.
And our thanks to everyone who sent that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome, first on my right, Mark Steele and Carrie Quinlan. And opposite them on my left, Phil Jupitus and Alan Corran. Mark, which clunking fist has won hands down?
Is this Brown?
That's the man.
Yes. Yes, this is genius, really, with the Labour Party, because they can find nobody at all to dispute this chap who's now going to take over. And then, so they say, oh, yes, but we are going to have a contest for the deputy leader. But then they've managed to find six people, no other institution we've had to do this, to find six people who all agree that the Iraq war was a good thing and Tony Blair is a good bloke. Which I don't think any other organisation would be able to do that. And so they've now got this meaningless sort of election where they're all, and one of them, I think, I can't remember, they all get sort of all seem the same. One of them said, I want to win because we need to renew the trust of the British people. And then another one said, I want to win because we need to listen to the people. And I thought then Peter Hain will make his speech, it'll be, I think that the British people are people. And then Alan Johnson will go, ooh, I like people. And then the contest, they'll all stand in a room and all shout people, and the one who's loudest is the winner.
Actually, I was thinking about, because Alan Johnson's the bookie's favourite, isn't he?
I've no idea, I've no interest, they're all arseholes.
It's funny, I read that in Tribune this week. It's kind of weird.
What bothers me about the nature of polls, because polls this week are being 1 or 2 or 3%, and I don't know who is selected, but it's odd that if you come here and say they're all arseholes, 500 people agree with you. It's an extraordinarily strange way of testing.
Well, I did put the argument very well.
It's how you gov do it. I like the idea, though, that it's okay because there's going to be a contest over the deputy leadership, because that's such a role of such importance, like it was under Prescott.
Someone. I think all six of them, I only dream all day this Saturday. Let's see how they are with the show tune. Come on, that's the way. Because that's how important it is. They might as well say, I will have the one that sings best. The one that looks good in a frock.
Everyone in the Labour Party seems to have fallen for that whole Blair thing that he did. I mean, what a statement that, when he said, but hand on heart, I did it because I thought it was right at the time. And they all clapped. Like it was possible that he was going to go, I'll tell you what, I knew it was going to be disaster. I looked for a laugh, because I'm a bit mental like that. I felt it, and I just fell at war. Oh, even the commentators look such an outpouring, because I did actually watch it all last week, because I was originally told I was on this last week and was given the wrong date, which is why I spent 4 hours watching Blair's bloody resignation. And then found out I wasn't on it, so I've watched 4 hours of that for nothing.
You have to allow us our little laugh sometimes. Hey, Mark will be home watching. Yes, indeed, Gordon Brown has been declared Prime Minister-elect after his only challenger, John McDonnell, failed to get the support of 45 MPs required to force a leadership contest. Makes you proud to be in a democracy, doesn't it? To celebrate getting the job that he has coveted for 10 years, Gordon plans to splash out on an expensive new suit, just as soon as one in his size comes into Oxfam. 2 points to Mark. Carrie, whose weapon of choice will no longer be a net?
Into a net. Oh, this is the US military banning their troops from using MySpace. Yeah. It's a weird story, actually. I kind of understand it, although the US military is saying that the reason behind this is bandwidth, that too many soldiers are going on the internet and it's clogging up the internet from Iraq, apparently. I think it's more to do with the fact that various soldiers presumably are going onto their MySpace blogs and going, yeah, well, we've got a quiet day tomorrow. We're going to be just at 33 degrees north, 44 degrees east, kicking back, having a barbecue. We're not even taking any guns with us. And as a special treat, the vice president's going to come and hang out. Among the websites they've banned, they've done YouTube and MySpace and all this, there's one called stupidvideos.com. And you just think, good, actually ban that. The image of various US troops blowing up the wrong building and going, oh, did someone get that on camera? We can send that to You've Been Framed.
You can post bulletins on MySpace, and it's like when you're doing something, my daughter's always on there going, I'm going to the shops now, and post a bulletin, telling all her mates she's going to the shops, going to bed now. I'd like to have a few American soldiers on there, being shot at now. Something just exploded.
I realise how totally unqualified I am to think about war. I don't know what MySpace and YouTube are. In my generation, they gave you a cheese sandwich and tin hat. And you walk towards anybody who put a verb at the end of the sentence.
Yes, in the week in which former US soldier Colby Buzzell won an award for a book based on his online diary, the US military has decided to censor soldiers' blogs and deny them access to 13 communal internet sites, including MySpace and YouTube. Apparently, Colby Buzzell started writing his online diary because there was nothing else to do in Iraq. After, you know, the Allies had won and Saddam's weapons of mass destruction had been destroyed and a democratically elected government had implemented the rule of law. I don't know how the soldiers are supposed to find insurgents if they can't Google them. Seems mad. Quick supplementary military question, actually. Which principled soldier is not going to war?
Harry.
Oh, this is not fair.
This is not fair?
Oh. No, because it's unanswerable.
It's unanswerable.
There's no way of answering it.
We just did, Harry.
We just said Harry, and that's the answer. One point to them.
But well, if you wanted to go, if you want to cry, God for Harry, England, St. George, you'll be closing the wall up with your English dead before you know it, because they're all wearing ginger wigs, and there's a sniper sitting out there who is locked into the royal family. He's been waiting with them for years. You could send Philip. I wouldn't object.
I'm not going. What's sending me for? They're never going to miss me, are they?
They did say they'll send him somewhere not quite as dangerous, like Afghanistan. It's one of those safer wars.
Yeah, but there's royals, they're aristocrats. They're brought up with confidence. If he was captured and kidnapped, then they'd come in with a black hood and a sword, and he'd say, could I have some canapes? And they'd be off to get them.
Apparently, shouldn't it be beyond their imagination to manufacture a small war? A little insurrection, something like Cowdray Park or Bognor. Go down and sort it out. We're sending him to Bognor.
It could be brought to him by butlers or something.
Your skirmish, sir.
When he went for the interview at the army, do you think they said, well, do you have a sort of military background in the family at all? And he said, well, father, possibly.
Moving on, Phil.
Tim Sanders continues to give the power to the people.
What we're doing tomorrow is going to rattle a lot of people.
This week, a squad of former British soldiers fight for their rights by seizing the founder's squad.
But listen, it's the hot of the square and the rest of the battle.
Have we been jacked by Radio 3?
You hardly need a question after that, do you?
I wanted to stand. I don't know what. I felt moved.
What did you feel it was?
We thought it was the Eurovision National Anthem contest.
It's Estonian National Anthem.
They did Monday night. You wouldn't listen.
It was Estonia.
It's Estonia.
You're the only person that bought that Ronco Best National Anthem of Europe. There's Alan driving along in his car.
Oh, yeah.
He's national anthem mad, that foreign. Estonia.
Did you know that Estonia and Finland have got the same national anthem? Now, this suggests to me that either they're never going to meet or they're not worried about two teams coming up for the same gold medal. The question is, who have the Russians hacked off this week?
Oh, this is quite a new one, isn't it? Estonia has come under cyber attack. And they say it's from Russia, which seems a touch harsh, because Estonia did give Russia 12 points in Eurovision. And you would have thought that would guarantee them free passage for all sorts of things. But no, they upset the Russians by yanking over a statue, which caused the Russians to then jam up all the Estonian websites. So no chance of the Estonian army going on YouTube. No chance of anybody downloading anything on iTunes now, because the Russians have laid cyber siege to Estonia.
They said Estonia is a pioneer of e-government. I think it sounds like Yorkshire County Council.
It's quite a sophisticated way. If you're going to do it online, I don't know why. It's better than the old tank way, wasn't it? Would you rather the Russians were rumbling in there with the tanks to put their statue back up? No, it's a much more sophisticated thing.
Putin's got going on now. Yeah, it'd be great if World War III was fought on computers, because only the geeks would die.
This is what's happened. They've sent in this NATO squad of cyber hitmen, like a kind of A-team, who look incredibly malnourished and all got huge glasses and had their pens in their top pocket, and they're all called Brian. They've gone in and they've said, yes, this Scaldier, he's under attack. Could I have my Ventolin? And
have you tried switching it off and switching it back on again?
Yeah. Turn a whole country off. Can you unplug Estonia at the wall?
Russia has been accused of launching a wave of crippling cyber attacks on Estonian websites, which has caused alarm amongst the Western allies. Russia and Estonia fell out last month after the Estonians removed a Soviet war memorial from Tallinn city centre and returned it to Russia by long-range missile. And at the end of round one, the scores are Mark and Carrie have got 5, and so have Alan and Phil. We start round two with a notice on the side of a packet of Nivea for men.
We don't need it. Who sends these things in?
24-hour moisturizer. Applied twice a day.
And our thanks to Philip Miles, and indeed our sympathy for spotting that. Mark, who can bank on leaving the world stage?
This is the way the modern world is, at the risk of sounding archaic and Radio 4, the modern world. The head of the World Bank, who, as head of the World Bank, has carried out all sorts of World Bank-type things, like preventing medicines getting to Africa because to lower the price would undermine the market rate and stuff like that, causing countless people to be dead. Nobody minded about that. Then he was the person who, I think he actually was quite instrumental with Donald Rumsfeld with organising the war. No one really bothered with him about that. But now he's gave his girlfriend a job, and so he's going to be sacked for that.
Yeah, that war thing, we were fine with that.
That's all right. That's all part of the job. But this is a bit, I know it's Americans, so they probably don't speak like that. But so he's being oisted out for that reason.
Is the World Bank like a normal bank? Do they like send letters? Dear Estonia. We haven't heard of you for some weeks now.
I think so. Although I've never seen a cash point. Anybody seen a cash point?
Imagine the size of the card. I bet it's got a really long PIN number.
Maybe that was the problem. It wasn't giving the pay rise to the girlfriend. It was failing to charge her £25 for the letter giving her the good news. The president of the World Bank, Paul Wolfowitz, has been accused of favouritism after a special investigative panel found that he had secured a pay rise for his partner, Shah Rizza. Critics are shocked that Paul Wolfowitz gave his girlfriend a job and some money. Well, beats a cigar and a dent patch. Allowed personal opinion. Carrie, have a listen to this. I do not understand the musical clues on this programme. That was a recording by Marianne Faithfull, and the question is about Mars bars. Why does a Mars a day make you work, rest and moo?
Mars bars are no longer vegetarian.
Yeah.
I've never really thought about their vegetarianism. But they have whey in them, which previously had vegetarian ingredients and now has rennet, which is taken from the stomach of newly slaughtered calves.
I just say we're obliged legally to tell you this in no way alters its delicious creamy taste.
See, a Milky Way is now the snack you can eat between meals without ruining your appetite, unless you think about how it was made. But there was a lovely thing. One of the spokeswomen for the Mars company said that less strict vegetarians can still enjoy the great taste of Mars. You think about the less strict vegetarians who eat animals.
So you see, what they can do is, like a Milky Way, it's just they just have to change the spelling.
You know, that's almost too clever for this show. I had to think, oh, wait, oh, that's clever. It's a surprise. amazing number of sweets and fizzy drinks and crisps and things like that.
Yeah, the Guardian listed them, didn't they? It was Guinness, Tango Orange, and steak. It was weird.
Master Foods, the owners of Mars, have enraged vegetarians after they announced that from May the 1st, all their chocolate bars may contain traces of the chemical rennet, which comes from cows' stomachs. Chocolate-loving vegetarians suspected there may be some meat in Mars bars after they got some colour back in their cheeks and found they could walk to the newsagents without feeling exhausted. Alan, what is no longer hair today, gone tomorrow?
It's terrifying knowing that you will always get a question on the news quiz that you can answer because the audience is shielding its eyes from your head. They have, I think of them as they, it's Dr. Savannah in the basement with a condenser and a mouse. They got a bald mouse. They clunk-fisted it. And as a result of this, the genes that they shoved in from a goldfish or whatever it was, and the mouse cropped a fine head of hair, mullet, ringlets, to go with the ear on its back. It doesn't even have any therapeutic side effect either. I mean, there's no reason for doing this except to see whether you can do it. It's like saying you could have webbed feet. In fact, I'd rather have webbed feet than hair. I'd rather enjoy that if they could do that, to introduce a Canadian Brent Goose gene into my body. And I could get across the Serpentine in 4 minutes flat. I wouldn't mind being bald as a coot. I'd be faster than a coot as well. That's small. But, yes, that's what they've done. They've invented mouse hair you can put on human beings.
I'm hoping for a handlebar moustache. That's what I'm after. But I quite like the fact that stem cell research is supposed to cure cancer and cystic fibrosis and all this stuff, and clearly some bald scientist has harnessed the technology first.
I wonder whether the mouse ended up with air in its nostrils. This is something that happens after the watershed of 48. You suddenly find that you're growing these two tiny beards in these caverns in the middle of your head. Blow your nose, a sort of tugging feeling. Tiny hawsers that catch in the edge of your handkerchief where it's hemmed.
You want to get...
You look down and find a hair in your monogram.
And they talk about intelligent design. Yeah. If they listen to this, maybe they'll get the mice and try to put a handlebar moustache, see if the mice can grow that. First World War military mice.
Okay,
baddie mice. I think the cheese is mine tonight.
The laboratory needs you.
If you could just stick a hairy mouse to the top of your lip, I quite like this.
You mean like Bruce Forsyth?
This is the joyous news that we're close to a cure for baldness. I say joyous, I don't give a damn. Scientists from the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine have managed to grow new hair cells on bald mice. And male pattern baldness is no laughing matter. Bald men face disrespect, humiliation, and name-calling, blithered some big baldy slaphead. And at the end of round two, Alan and Phil have got 9, but Mark and Carrie are in the lead with 10. Before we start round 3, here is an article from a Minnesota paper, the St. Paul Pioneer Press.
More than 300 people paid $5 for all-you-can-eat goat, lamb and bull testicles at the 9th Annual Testicle Festival at Mama's Place Bar and Grill in Eldoron, Wisconsin. What else can you do in a small town? Festival founder Nancy Fensky said. She added that later in the evening, after the music starts, it gets nuts.
Thanks to Janet Slack for sending that in. Carrie, which special one is in the doghouse?
Special one, that's José Mourinho.
Mourinho?
It's the most compelling, pointless story I've read in a long time. It's all about his dog, who's a miniature terrier, which is also the most pointless dog in the world. It's a hippie chihuahua, basically. And he was at the Chelsea Player of the Year Awards, got a panicky phone call from his wife saying that his dog was being arrested. It was in possession of a bone with intent to bury it. And so he rushed home, and there the police were. There was some quarantine issue. So I love this. He excused himself. He said, I must just go make a phone call. Disappeared, came back and went, ha-ha, the dog is no longer here. there was some question over quarantine. It was supposed to have been to Europe and then back without anyone really noticing quite quickly, a bit like Chelsea.
Well, I think
the only press conference to go past, crazy, police just stupid, didn't understand nothing. If it's Alex Ferguson dog, then they don't mind if he has rabies, it's just the way.
Chelsea Football Club's manager, Jose Mourinho, was arrested and cautioned for being a smug foreigner. For obstructing the police after they tried to quarantine his Yorkshire Terrier, which a local vet believed had contravened quarantine rules. Apparently dogs and cats can now travel freely into the UK as long as they have the correct paperwork and a recent plumbing qualification. Phil, who is taking the office treadmill a step too literally?
Some enterprising person has developed the desk treadmill, which is, as you might imagine, it's a treadmill with a desk on it. This desk, it's £1,000, but I think you have to pay extra for your treadmill. It's ostensibly, it's a desk on long legs that will slide over a treadmill. So you walk while you do your clerical work. And I think that's a half-assed solution to the problem. You need a level of commitment. If you really want people to get fit while exercising, you hook up every electrical appliance in the office to a dynamo on the treadmill so they have to pedal to keep their computer going. Oh, I'm on MySpace.
I was just thinking about the meeting which the entrepreneurs arrived at this conclusion. They were going to build a desk with a treadmill on it or the other way round. Any been built? Any been sold? Any been used? I don't think so. It's a newspaper treadmill joke.
Do you think? It's available for sale. It costs £1,000, apparently. I mean, that's a lot of money for somebody going to get clogged up with sweet wrappers, isn't it? That's a lot of money. Researchers at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, USA, have invented the Walk and Work, a desk attached to a treadmill designed to help obese office workers lose weight.
It's going to be a bit of a giveaway when they lead you to the treadmill desk, isn't it? And your desk is over here.
What do you mean, my desk?
And that was my fat bloke voice. Which is stupid, because I've already got one.
Alan, what drives the female of the species bananas?
Oh, it's not about our common ancestor being tiny. Very little feet and a very little brain.
That's no way to talk about me.
It isn't. Run it by me again. Women and bananas.
It's to do with chimpanzees.
It's the angry bonobos.
It is actually the Sonso chimpanzee. It's small vowels.
Is it?
The Sonso chimpanzee is in the Budongo forest of Uganda.
You're making that up. They've discovered that they thought that the males were the aggressive. It's you know, the placebo is that in the primate world is that the males are the angry ones. But no, apparently it's the ladies.
I hate to ask you this, but where does the banana fit in?
You don't know by now.
Is that all it is? It's just that these chimps, the women are more angry than the men chimps.
It's when new female chimps come in with their offspring, the established female chimps kill the offspring, which I think should come as no surprise to anyone who lives anywhere near a half-decent state school.
Yes, it's a team from the University of St Andrews. Didn't you used to be rector there?
Yeah.
Yes, you should be up
They don't
speed.
Have to send in memos anymore, I don't think.
When I was the rector there in 1974, Alex Salmond was my handmaiden.
What?
He looked after me. He would trail me. They have strange and wonderful ceremonies at St Andrews. It's a very strange place in the Nook of Fife, this tiny peninsula of reason and calm and Scottish nationalism. And when you go up there as rector, you have to be looked after by a man. They gave me Alex Salmond. He was very good. I'm glad to see the boy has done so well. I have a question about him. He's a bigoted bloody programme, and we had all the other ratbags. We didn't have him.
What's to say? He got to be First Minister. Yay!
Are we not doing about Blair becoming a Catholic?
No, on the grounds of don't care.
Okay, I think it's a good idea because he's got plenty to be guilty about, hasn't he?
It's going to be weeks, isn't it?
Exactly, in the confession, poor priest, forgive me, Father. Oh, Jesus, I got Blair, I'm going to be here for a month.
A team from the University of St Andrews. Observing the behaviour of Sonso chimpanzees in the Budongo forest of Uganda.
Stop it. Stop it with the made-up places.
Has concluded that contrary to common belief, female chimps can be just as aggressive as the males. It's increasingly thought that chimps are more intelligent than they're given credit for. The socio-ecological circumstances of chimps may have greater relevance to human society than we might suspect, said a spokes chimp. Makes me laugh. Right. It's my programme, I do what I like. Right. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mark.
This was sent in by Stuart Kent, and it's from the Arkansas Democrat and Gazette. You may have noticed that March of this year was particularly hot. As a matter of fact, I understand that it was the hottest March since the beginning of the last century. This should come as no surprise to any reasonable person, because as you know, daylight saving time started a month early this year. You'd think that members of Congress would have considered the warming effect that an extra hour of daylight would have on our climate. And as a stroke of genius, they managed to actually get better. Perhaps this is another plot by a liberal Congress to make us believe that global warming is a real threat.
Carrie.
I've got one here from the Aberdeen Press and Journal, sent in by Nick Hiley. A Cromarty man who stole £40 from the proceeds of a raffle for his local over-60s club was yesterday jailed for 49 days. Dingwall Sheriff Court heard that Kenneth Mackay, 31, stole the money from his sister's home and hid it up his bottom when he realised that he was about to be found out. Fiscal Roderick Urquhart said that when Mackay was taken to Dingwall Police Station, he admitted hiding the notes up his bottom. The fiscal added that the money had been recovered, but was not in a usable state.
Phil.
Pick this one up. I didn't look to see who it was sent by, but I see it was sent by Wendy Kershaw. I didn't know he'd had the operation.
Thought I'd send a cutting in to let you know I've been gender realigned.
Anyway, Wendy, thank you for sending this in. A former racehorse owner has been jailed for running a sex-for-sale sauna. Hugh O'Donnell tried to claim Park Grove House in Kelvin Grove was a centre for autistic children, and lap dancing poles were there as an aid to disabled visitors. It was initially claimed flashing disco lights acted as an aid for autistic children, and wall-mounted chains, shackles and the mirrored ceilings were just decoration.
Alan.
Well, Sandy, I like this one from the Luton Evening Post. Club operators know a box office hit when they see one, and that's why Jim Davidson will be appearing in Luton tomorrow evening, for one night only.
Right, let's take a look at the final score. Mark and Carrie have got 13, but this week's winners are Alan and Phil with 14 points. Before we leave you, here is a TV listing for BBC Three.
12 midnight. Help, my dog's as fat as me. 1 a.m. Kill it, cook it, eat it.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Mark Steele, Carrie Quinlan, Phil Jupitus and Alan Corran. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Rory Morrison. The chair script was written by Lucy Clark, Roderick Brooks and Simon Littlefield, with additional material by Madeline Brettingham. And the producer was Ed Morris. ¶¶